All right, ladies and gentlemen, automotive enthusiasts from all 38 corners of the planet Earth, you've done it one more time. We know you resisted, but you still hit the play button on yet another...
Kevin, another Corey Bantic episode of V8 Radio.
Corey Bantic.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but he's our guy today.
Yeah, I think I went to grade school with Corey Bantic.
Yeah, me too, I think so.
What the heck does Corey Bantic mean?
Corey Bantic, Kevin, means wild and frenzied.
Just a couple of wild and frenzied guys.
Frenzied guys, absolutely.
Well, that fits. This is the V8 Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Ostey, joined as always by our esteemed co-host, Mr. Mike Hubal Clark. And we have a very special guest on this episode, Mr. Jason LaCavoli. Jason, welcome.
Man, very good pronunciation of my name. I got to give you kudos to that. That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little tricky, but thank you for that. I figured I had about a 30% chance of getting that right, so I'm glad we nailed it.
Well, you nailed it. You nailed it. Well, Kevin, Mike, thanks for having me on the show, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, oh, you're sure. Very welcome. And before we get into Jason's story and why we have him on this episode, we have a long-standing tradition here on the V8 Radio Podcast in which we have a little informal automotive trivia contest in the beginning of the show. Jason, were you aware of that? Did I send you that email?
Uh-oh. Nobody gave me that memo.
Oh, man.
Well, surprise.
It's an easy one. We usually toss out a little trivia question. Everybody gets a chance to ask, and everybody gets a chance to answer, but we hold the correct answers till the end of the show, and it's a way that we are able to bribe our listeners into sticking around the whole time. So, we kind of put you on the spot a little bit, but if you have any kind of a trivia question, normally we let our guest go first, but to give you a little time, we'll have Mikey go first.
Right on. All right, boys, here we go. Short, sweet, and to the point. What was the world's first car club? And there's bonuses attached.
Of course.
Two bonuses. And because I'm such a giving person, if you get the bonuses correct, we'll make it so the whole question's correct.
Oh, so I can get the car. I can get the actual name of the car club wrong.
Correct.
But get the bonuses.
But if you can tell me the year it was formed and in what country it was formed.
Okay, so to summarize, what was the world's first car club?
Correct.
Bonus: what year? Extra bonus, what country?
Correct.
Oh, man.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
You got any thoughts on that one, Jason?
I want to say, man. That's a good one.
And I will have you know, because...
Is it a trick question at all?
It is not a trick question.
We never do trick questions.
I need to also let you know that sometimes... listeners of the show will feed me questions. However, no one fed me this question. I came all on my own.
So we can't even blame anybody.
Nope.
We blame you.
Just blame me.
Yeah, right on. All right. Well, I'm going to take a stab at it real fast, and then we'll have Jason's answer. And I'm going to say the very first car club. So the name of it?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say it was the... Because I have no idea. Going to say it was the... The Road Rangers. Oh, man. And for the bonus, I'm going to say
it was... brother.
No kidding. 1916.
Mm-hmm.
And I pigeonholed myself. It's got to be an English-speaking country now, doesn't it? Because I said Road Rangers.
maybe that was the translation.
I'm going to say yes. it was in Slovenia.
Ooh.
So there you go.
Slovenia. Love it. Great guess.
So random. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally.
Well, my family's Italian, so I'm just going to go with, I want to say it's something European just because they would do a club. Yeah, but in my mind, before the U.S. I don't know. I can't even think of a name. We'll call them the Paisanos, and we'll say it was 1925, and it was over in Naples, Italy. That's a great question, man. You got
Italy. Naples, Italy. Right on.
Well, that was a well packaged answer right there, my friend.
Yeah. Well, he had a minute to think about it while you hemmed and hawed.
Yeah, because I got nothing on that one. I mean, I don't even have. I can't. Dude. That one I can't even reason out. So.
Right. Right. It's probably the Camaro Club out of Ohio.
Right, right, right. Exactly. Out of Ottumwa, yeah. Iowa.
All right. So, again, giving Jason a few more minutes to think of one, I'm going to throw mine out, and I'll throw it to Mr. Cueball Clark first. In 1957 and 58, Lake Placid Blue Metallic came on the Cadillac Eldorado Brome.
Mm.
And what other American icon?
Oh, man. 1957 and 58, mm-hmm. Lake mm-hmm. Placid Blue mm-hmm. adorned the Cadillac, what was it?
Eldorado Brome.
Eldorado Brome. But what other American icon?
Yes.
Okay, so that's not going to be a car. Because you know, don't even start with me.
It's
I will say, okay, Lake Placid Blue. Of course, there's Lake Placid, New York.
Right.
1957. I will say it adorned the water tower in Lake Placid, New York.
Nice.
Every American icon.
That is a great answer, because Lake Placid Blue is named after the blue waters of Lake Placid, which are probably conveniently stored in the water tower.
Probably conveniently stored.
All right.
Love it.
Jason, you got a crack at that one. 1957 and 58. Beautiful Lake Placid Blue Metallic came on the Cadillac Eldorado Brome. And what other American icon?
Man, you guys got some questions. I thought we were going to have something simple. This is deep.
We've been doing this for 6 years now, so we got to come up with good questions now.
Yeah, and there's no prizes, so don't worry about it.
I'm going to throw a stab out there. Like, maybe it's a different car manufacturer, like a Ford Thunderbird or something. Ooh. Not GM, right? Like something, I'm going to throw that out there. That's my guess.
An other make and model is what I'll say.
Okay. It is another make and model?
Well, no, that's
saying that's my answer. Yeah, yes. We'll go with that. There we go with that.
All right. A different make and model. All right. Noted. All right, Jason, do you think of anything? And whatever it is, ask Mike first.
Man, I mean, those are some questions. I'm thinking of,
can be anything,
I don't know. Dude. I wanted to say, well, I'm cruising Lindbergh, right? So I was going to ask, like, where's the largest cruise in the United States? What location is that cruise happening at?
That's a great question.
That's a great question. Where's the largest cruise that happens in the United States?
Yeah.
So the largest in number of cars attending, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I'd say the number of cars, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
okay. Largest cruise.
Some pressure there, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to, I got to say the Hot Rod Power Tour. Does that qualify?
I'm not going to taint your
answer.
All right, my losing tradition continues. Here we go.
At least you're batting 1,000, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, I think part of the key element here is, yes, what's the definition of a cruise? Because if it's just cars kind of motoring along, you know, the intersection of the 10 freeway and the 405 in LA could be the largest cruise in the world, because there's like a billion cars a day that go through there. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's what it is. I'm going to say it is the Woodward Dream Cruise in Detroit, 8th Mile.
All right.
So that's my guess.
Two stellar guesses, gentlemen.
Yeah. So we'll find out at the end of the show all three answers to these riveting, riveting questions. And our tens of listeners are saying, okay, glad that's over with. Let's get to the meat. All right, so Jason, welcome aboard. And Jason is the promoter of an event. It's a cruise, and it's called Cruisin' Lindbergh. And it's it's pretty exciting because we're here in the Midwest, and you're in St. Louis, and it's very cool to know, you know, many cities had cruising events that just kind of happened. You know, Woodward was a great example. You know, in Southern California, it was Van Nuys Boulevard. They were all over the place. But St. Louis had one, too, and it was kind of known as Cruisin' Lindbergh. So give us a little bit of the history of this thing.
Yeah, so Ronnie's Movie Theater was a drive-in movie theater back in the day, right? And so in the 50s, people would drive up to the movie theater, and of course, you go drive down the street, grab a hamburger, hang out with your friends. So like cruising Lindbergh, this three-mile stretch of Lindbergh Boulevard in South County, people have been cruising up and down the street since the 50s, right? It's a tradition. So they passed an ordinance late 90s, early 2000s, that kind of kiboshed the whole cruising thing, right? We all kind of caused some troubles. I get it. Mm. So it's been dead for 20 years. So COVID lockdowns happened, and, in March. So in April, talking to a buddy of mine, I'm like, man, there's nothing to do, right? If you go back to those days, nothing to do.
Right, totally.
And I said, I was talking to a buddy late night, and I go, you know what they're doing is these birthday parades. People drive by with their car and, hey, happy birthday, wave, whatever. But they're allowed to drive around and they can socialize because they're in their car. And I go, what if we just go cruising like we did back in the day? So I was in a couple car clubs and I just, you know, got a lot of friends that into the car world. So I invite a bunch of people, create an event when there's no events in town. And, you know, when there's nothing going on and you leverage social media, explosion happened and like thousands and thousands of people came out. It became a beast. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm kind of holding the torch of this, you know, 70-year-old tradition here in St. Louis. But it's not, I'm not cruising Lindbergh. It's the thing that we've been doing our whole lives. I cruised for a decade of my life every weekend. Like that was our social media. That was how mm-hmm. you find out where the parties were and meet the good, you know, the pretty ladies and catch up with friends and make new friends and maybe get in a fight here and there. But, you know, like all that mm-hmm. fun. All happened on Lindbergh Boulevard in South County. So that's our magical little three-mile stretch.
That is so cool. And it brings up a lot of great questions and talking points. So he alluded that he was in the car club. I think he was in the Road Rangers.
Yes. Yes. And the Paisanos.
And that's the Paisanos. Right. Hey. Well,
the Paisans are more of a car club. They're that's a pretty serious
different kind
club
of
there. That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, back in the 50s, like you're saying, one of the things that was so different is, of course, there was no social media and cell phones and all that jazz. And one of the reasons why the car in general became so popular, especially with the youth, is it was a way to escape. You could get away from your family or your house and get out with your buddies and your friends and go do stuff, which naturally evolved into people cruising and going places, even, you know, cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go.
Nice, nice, good God.
Another St. Louis local right there, old Chuck Berry.
That's right, legend.
So as things evolved, and you mentioned your time frame being primarily in the 90s, right? The event, the unofficial, Lindbergh cruise kind of petered out, like you said, 20 years ago. So what was the impetus for this thing dying off? Was it just things were getting out of hand, or what was happening?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a culmination of things, but we caused, you know, some issues for the local police over the years, if you can imagine. And I think they had a couple bad accidents towards the late 90s. So basically, it's an unincorporated St. Louis County, right? So there's no mayor to go to. It's kind of a weird blend of we're in St. Louis, but we don't have that local authority figure. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
yeah.
So they couldn't really change the law. So there's an ordinance in place that says if you pass by a police officer more than two times that you can get a ticket for cruising. So there's no cruising allowed for the point of cruising. So what I've done is to repurpose what cruising is on Lindbergh Boulevard, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of just cruising, we're out here supporting our local community, right? Because post-COVID, they need our help, right? And I love corporate businesses. I'm not anti-corporate, but the small guy, the little business guy, I want to always support him. So for sure. I try to do promotional events. You know, they're doing customer appreciation events on our cruise nights. You know, we got special, you know, drink specials at the bar, food specials at the restaurant, just anything to support my local community and my local businesses. Like, that's what we're up to. And what I do is I encourage all my friends to bring their cool cars out to do that. Does that make sense?
That's great. I love it. So I think back in the day, a lot of the local businesses were opposed to the cruising, and I think that was short-sighted. Yeah. I think they thought it was a bunch of hoodlums coming in and, you know, troublemakers. And in reality, it's a giant market that's very mobile, and they're local, and why not work with them? So I think it's a great idea.
Absolutely. And you know, St. Louis is a really big, small town. So, you know, you get to know everybody. People don't tend to leave here as much. And so it's generational. Like, what I love about my events is when grandpa, dad, and grandson are all cruising in their cars together. That's an activity that, like, to me, I appreciate our digital conveniences, but I'm an analog guy, right? Digital's cool, but I like to go old school. And, like, I want to feel that motor. I want to smell that gas. I want to see the way the light shines off that car with my eyes, not through a phone screen, you know? I like to go camping. I like to just experience life. And I think post-COVID, we're in lockdown. So we need more of that just social interaction. I'm hugging on people when I'm out there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm excited to just relive the good old days and create new ones, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. And I think, you know, everybody is hungry to get out and do stuff. And so I've been fortunate to travel a lot, and in some of the bigger cities, they're still kind of freaked out, and they're not hugging on each other, and they're still masked up here and there. And even if the mask mandates go away, a lot of people are still choosing to wear masks. And I noticed that coming back to this part of the country, it's a little less of a thing. You know, people are more eager and putting that aside to go out and do stuff. So I think it's great. It's an awesome thing that you're doing. When you are working to kind of put this up, so you said in the beginning that, you know, you technically are not cruising Lindbergh, you're kind of facilitator for all this stuff. Are you working with other people or volunteers, and how much organization are you actually doing? I mean, what's the program?
Yeah, so the way I approach this whole thing is, at the end of the day, I got a Facebook page, right? Like, that's what we have, is a Facebook group that likes to go out and do things on the same day together, right? Because technically, you know, I got three different attorneys and I've been advised different ways, but, like, I can't invite people to go cruising. That's illegal, right? So I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want other people getting in trouble. So we can't go cruising for the sake of cruising. But if you take your cool car and go shopping and support your local community, and go to these events that these businesses are already doing, those are all things that are within the law. And so, and I want to be in a law-abiding citizen. I live 10 minutes from that boulevard. You know what I mean? My kids go to school right there, and this is my world. I want good things here. And so far, knock on wood, all the events we've had, we haven't had burnouts and racing and any accidents, no tickets. Like, it's been a really great experience on both sides of the fence. So, you know, it's better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission, I'll tell you that. And so I'm walking a fine line, but my heart's in the right place, and I feel like I'm bringing value to everybody around me. So,
yeah, I think when you get the buy-in from the local businesses along that road, I think that really helps the police kind of not press the issue with seeing a lot of cars cruising by. Because if the local business owners are happy, then everybody's happy, I think.
Right. Well, you know, those businesses pay their taxes, and that pays for the police and fire and all the other things. And again, these are people in my community, and they have been sweethearts with our events, you know, like, and I say events because what else are you going to call it? But all I'm doing is promoting these businesses' events. You know, there's six events going on Saturday in our town, and all I'm doing is saying, guys, bring your cool cars and let's go do all this fun stuff together.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. I applaud what you're doing, and I'm so happy that people are excited to do this. And you did mention it's coming up this coming Saturday. So it's April 30th is kind of your kickoff event for 22, right?
Yes, sir. So the first event that was like a fluke weird thing that kind of blew up was at the end of April. And so I figure, hey, what a great tradition. Let's start the car season off with a little Cruise in Lemberg event. So
now are there plans for, you know, additional kind of official Cruisin' Lindbergh events, or what happens after April 30th?
Yeah, so my goal is to have 3 or 4 events a year, and that's it. So I don't want to overwhelm, you know, the community or the police or anything, but I think 3 or 4 events is sufficient. It gives people a chance to really, you know, if we get rained out, there's going to be another one. It's not just one a year. We end in October. We did last year at a car show at Lindbergh High School, and man, you know, not to get into all the details, but they've done it for 7 years and hadn't had a lot of success raising money. Well, again, the power of social media. I say, hey, we're going to do a car show at Lindbergh High School. All of a sudden, there's 200 cars, and we're raising almost $10,000. And, like, it's a whole different ballgame. And I'm so appreciative of all the great members of the group because, you know, we get the old guy with the garage queen who brings that thing out for my event, and I'm so appreciative of that, you know. And then you get the kid that's just starting to turn the wrench and through a you know, a CD player in his car, and he's customizing it. You know what I mean? Bless his heart. Like, come on out. Let's have some fun together. Because we all started there. Well, at least me. I was poor growing up. So, like, I went to work just so I could put money in my car and make it cool. You know, we shined our cars every Friday night. Like, that was our world. So I'm appreciative of the craftsmanship that goes into these cars. And, like, it's an expression of the person. It's so much more than just driving your car around, you know?
For sure. Well, and that brings up another question that I have. And unfortunately, I was not at any of the big ones last year. But I've seen a lot of pictures on the Facebook group. And your Facebook group's like 15,000 people, right?
Yeah, it blew up really quick, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of enthusiasm for it. But there's some awesome pictures. And one of the things I noticed is the extreme diversity of cars and trucks that come out.
Oh, man, that is 100% my favorite part. If you go to any car show, like, I love car shows, but they tend to be whoever's putting on the car show, right? It leans towards that direction. So if it's a truck guy, then there's more trucks there. If it's a motorcycle guy, there's more motorcycles. When it comes to Cruisin' Lemberg, you see everything. I mean, you see, you know, full-blown race cars out there that shouldn't be. And you got motorcycles, you know, the Cross Rockets, the Harleys. I mean, I'm not a motorcycle guy, but I see so many kinds, and I love it. I appreciate it. You know, lifted trucks, rat rods, hot rods, all that fun stuff, man. The diversity is what, to me, what makes it really special, because you come out with what represents you and what you're passionate about. And even though you might not be a Ford guy, you're a Chevy guy, you still appreciate that guy to put all that time and effort in his car. So that's the vibe. You know, it's not really a competition like a car show would be. It's more of a fellowship of car enthusiasts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice. Perfect.
A fellowship of car enthusiasts.
Yes. That's from the church of horsepower.
Yes. Perfect. Preach, brother. Preach.
That's it.
Jesus.
Well, you know, Mike and I on this podcast for years, literally, have been providing feedback on the concept of today we're being more divided every day, it feels like. And it's not just, you know, politically, it's the keyboard warriors. And like you're saying, the digital world has allowed people to really become more vocal, and they say things online they would never say in person. And what I really can't stand is when somebody posts a picture, you know, online, and it's a car, right? I don't care what it is. It could be anything. And, you know, half the commentary is, oh, that sucks, or you suck, or I hate that, or it's junk. And then the other half is like, this is the greatest thing ever. So Mike and I have, you know, been on kind of a mission, and I do a lot of work with SEMA. And one of the things that SEMA does is to, you know, petition the government to help us have the right to play with these cars. And what people need to realize is we all have to stick together. If you don't like the other car, find something that you appreciate about it, like you're saying, because if we're fighting each other, we're going to lose the big battle. And someday they're going to take all of this fun away from us. So it's great that it's an embracing type of event for everyone.
Oh, man. And what you just said is really what fuels me all the time. Electric vehicles are going to take over. These hot rods are not going to be allowed to be on the street. That's coming. I think that's coming before I die. So I got to do all I can now while we have the freedom and opportunity. I mean, like, I don't think people realize that these things will be in museums soon. Do you understand? These cars, like, we just won't have the freedom to drive them around. And this is my, you know, contention. I'm not saying I know what's happened. I'm not Nostradamus over here. I'm just saying the writing's on the wall. You know what I mean? The writing's on the wall that the electric vehicles are going to take over. And like the trend, the young people, they're going to trend toward that. So I love to bring young people into these car events and get them excited about cars, you know? And you guys talk about the V8 world, like, right? That the way that motor feels when you're standing there, that could, I fell in love with cars back in the day because of how it felt, because of how the vibe was around the car culture. So like, that's the part that's going to die. You know what I mean? And I say it's going to die unless people like me and people like you guys just keep talking about it, keep doing events, keep spreading the good word about what the car world is, you know?
Well, yeah, at one point, 1 in 7 jobs in this country were automotive related.
That's insane.
That's an amazing stat. Yeah.
Well, it was because of all the facets of the car world. And like, so, you know, my day job, my wife and I run a restoration and performance shop, and she's very involved in getting people, younger people excited about working in the automotive world. And she points out that all the time that you could be an accountant, right? If you go to school, you want to be a CPA. Where would you rather be? An accountant for, you know, a company that makes carpet, or an accountant for a race company, you know, for a race team, or somebody that makes, you know, really cool stuff. So the automotive industry needs every type of job: marketing, graphic design, sales, in addition to wrenches and technicians and painters and designers and that kind of stuff. So yeah, to expose all that and to carry that on, I think is insanely important, because it's one of the few things you can do that you can create something with your own two hands and share it, and other people do appreciate it. And you learn and teach yourself skills, and the benefit is that pride of doing something, which it's getting trickier these days, because like you were saying before, this isn't a video game. This is real.
Yeah. And most people, I don't know, a lot of people, especially young, they want to live in a video world. And I don't know, I want to show them, put it this way. I know kids 18, 19 years old don't have a driver's license and ain't thinking about it. Why? Because the freedom of the vehicle is not enticing enough. Does that make sense? Totally. We're living in a different world. I mean, like, I don't know your ages, but I'm saying I got young kids, and I see my kids and I think that driving a car is a hassle. Why would I do that? I can Uber. I got my parents. I got this. When I was a kid, I could not wait to get a car. I mean, think about it. I'm 15 years old. Like, when do I get my chance? The day I could, I went and got my permit, you know? Mm-hmm. So that enthusiasm, I just don't see it as much in these young people. And again, I don't want this car culture. I keep calling it that because I want to paint a broad stroke. Like, people who are passionate about cars and love to customize them, that culture will die with social media. Because you don't need a lot of people participating to show some sexy pictures of cars. Like, I want large masses of people excited about their cars, an expression of themselves. And that notion is something that has to be passed down, you know?
Yeah, you have to experience it in person. And what I think, I've got a little bit of a love-hate relationship with more traditional car shows, because at a car show, there was a big campaign a few years ago, you probably heard of it, the Take a Kid to a Car Show campaign, which the idea is wonderful, you know, because they're trying to expose future generations to the car culture, like you're saying. The problem I had with it is that more often than not, it was an older guy taking a younger kid to a car show, and when they'd get close to that shiny 57 Chevy, the father would pull them away. Hey, don't touch that, you know, get away from there. So what you're instilling is now you got a kid who doesn't identify with what they're seeing because they've never seen one before, but they know they're not supposed to touch it or enjoy it. You know, so the cruising event is, hey, hear them run, see them move, get, you know, in the passenger seat, go for a ride and experience that thing. And that sense of motion is what hooks us all, like you were saying before. Totally.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like you can go to the zoo. and see the lion, or you can go on a safari and see the lion. Two very different experiences. You know what I mean?
Perfect analogy.
And I always tell people, like, dude, get them cars out in their natural environment, you know, and especially these garage queens. I appreciate an investment vehicle, right? But like, dude, what are you going to do with this car? This is your reason to bring it out, because people like to see and be seen with their car. And here's what I'll tell you. I appreciate car shows and I hate car shows because they're boring as shit. And if you're not an enthusiast about cars, it's boring. So a cruise is like, go grab a hamburger and hang out with your friends and watch beautiful cars drive by, a diverse mix of beautiful cars. That is like, I think more people can identify with that activity than sitting around debating what a 67 versus 68 with this kind of gears. And you know what I'm saying? Like, car guys nerd out at car shows, and unless you're a car guy, you ain't into it. When it comes to cruising, everybody's into it. Soccer moms loving it, right? Old guys, young guys, females, any ethnicity. And I love the diversity of people who are passionate about cars driving on the road. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
and turn your radio up and roll the window down. Like, it's a universal passion there, you know?
I was just going to go there. And this totally reminds me of, you know, my time was also the early 90s when I was, you know, big into cruising. I grew up in the Chicago area, but don't hold that against me. But we used to have Harlem Avenue, and Harlem Avenue was about a 5-mile stretch, actually through an area known as Chicago's Little Italy, my friend. And
nice.
It was cool. And the funny thing about Harlem Avenue is, let's go back in time, shall we? So we're talking 89, 90. Most of the people cruising on Harlem, well, they looked like Vanilla Ice. You know, they had the Z Cavariccis on. Yeah. And, you know, everybody's all dressed up and they got, you know, the product in the hair. It's all slicked back. A lot of Italian guys and you know, great-looking Italian gals, the whole thing. And the music was a central component of it. Everybody had systems. Everything was cranked up. Most of the natives to the area were into dance music and house music and you know, that kind of stuff. And my buddies and I kind of crashed the party because we were more rock and rollers. And, you know, I didn't own a pair of Cavariccis and I didn't have stuff in my hair. So
lies. There was lies.
I challenge you. You will not find a picture of that. But there was a little bit of tension there, you know, because you'd be cruising and the guy, you know, next to you is kind of stink eyeing you. And he's in this, you know, IROC Z. And luckily, you know, we had cars that at least would run the whole time, you know, because it was summertime and it's hot, you know, and it's a bumper to bumper 5-mile stretch, you know, it's going to tax things. But Harlem Avenue was not embracing the car culture even back then. They wanted all of us, you know, kids to get off the street and go home and leave it alone. So it's cool that, again, like we were saying before about getting the local businesses involved so that they realize, hey, these are people that want to come out and have a good time and spend some money and see their friends and be part of it.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe we needed a little 20-year break. I don't know. You know, I'm older now. I'm not crazy like I was. And I think most of the people who are coming out to my events used to cruise, and you know, they got better cars and more patience and, you know, less rebel in them. But there's still that rebel spirit. There's still the American freedom, you know, like a lot of things tie into cruising. You know, again, I like to separate the car world from cruising, right? Two different things. I encourage soccer moms to come out with their minivans because they appreciate the cars and they might run into an old friend and they still need to eat hamburgers, and I want everybody winning, you know? So, and I tell you what, car guys, I pay attention to humans, right? I like to watch human beings. Car guys love when non-car guys appreciate their car more than car guys appreciate their car, because car guys are already into it and they're nuanced detail differences. Whereas someone outside just loves the way it looks and can't stop complimenting them on how great it sounds. Or does that make sense? It's a different kind of feedback for these car guys, and they dig it.
Well, Mike, you experienced that recently when you drove your GTO to work.
Yeah, I did. We have some younger guys that work in my office, and they were just blown away when I pulled up in my 67 GTO, and they couldn't believe it. They almost didn't know that something like that existed. And I mean, it totally changed their outlook, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Or they've never seen one in person.
They've never seen one. Yeah, they just couldn't believe that they were seeing this immense vehicle.
Yeah, you made their day.
I did.
And then they made yours by that enthusiasm.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you got some cool points, right? And I bet you they told some friends about it. I don't know. Again, those little moments are pretty magical, you know?
Some cool points. Hey, that cue ball guy, he's all right. After all.
I thought he was a jagoff, but he's not so bad.
Yeah. Well, this past weekend.
You know what else?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say real quick. It's funny because I've heard this comment a lot. Yeah, look at that ugly son of a bitch, but that's a beautiful car. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes, you know, the car makes you feel a little better about it. It's kind of like putting on some fresh threads that looks good. You just feel better about yourself, you know?
It's a cool suit.
It is.
There you go.
Yeah, so this past weekend, I actually drove. I have a 70 Buick Riviera that I drove to Chicago and back with a friend of mine. And all up and down 55, there's people slowing down and, you know, speeding up to come check it out on the highway and give me thumbs up and everything. And of course, in the city itself, the city of Chicago basically hates cars.
Yes.
There's too many of them. They're too loud. And like you were saying before, it's getting into the EV thing and the autonomous and the Ubers and everything, you know, just get these things out of here. And to see this big old sled coming down the street and going through the alleys, you know, it was blowing people's minds. And it was people that I wouldn't expect. It was a lot of younger people, again, that just couldn't, they thought they saw a spaceship, you know, and asking questions and thumbs up and wow, you know, what is this thing? You know, why are you driving this?
Yeah. They saw something that's not a Honda Civic roll down the road. It's crazy.
Right. And Elon Musk a couple weeks ago put out a tweet, and generally I'm not going to get into the whole EV thing. I think Musk is an innovator and I appreciate what he's doing, but he did say that there will come a time when we will look back on history and say, can you believe we let people drive these 2.5-ton death machines around on their own? Right? And it's what saying. They're going to, any minute, this stuff could go away. So we need these opportunities to go out and exercise them and use them. So, Jason, you got anything cool in your garage?
You know, I got a 66 Volkswagen Bug, and it's a pretty cool car. I got a 67 Bug and a 66 Bus. Now, the bus is a project, but it came out of California and is solid. And, you know, I like weird, so I like something stands out. You know what I mean? I like to have fun. Yeah. If I had a fast car, I'd be getting in a lot of trouble. So I try to go with something that's a little more, you know, it looks fun, and it just for cruising. I love to cruise, you know. I drive a minivan with my kids on the daily, so that's always exciting. But, you know, I've had a lot of different cars over the years. I mean, you know, they found these Volkswagens, and they intrigued me a lot. So.
Oh, they're awesome. And they are, especially those buses, man, are becoming super popular.
Big fan.
And especially the early ones, as you know, with all the windows, that's getting to be a big investment to get into one.
Yeah. For real.
Well, and some of my buddies that are in that world, the new electric vehicle bus is coming out, I think, in a year or two. And they think that's going to raise the demand even more for the old one. So I'm kind of, do I go all in and restore original like it's a solid base, you know, rolling chassis, ready to go? But I don't know. I got 50 million things going on. You know, it's always all car guys got that happen in their lives, you know.
Yep. A couple of years ago, we did a lot of work on a 69 VW bus. And a friend of mine bought it out of Tennessee, I believe. And it was a two-tone red and black with kind of a graphic stripe in between and red leather seats and a stereo. And it was on 17-inch Porsche
Sounds
wheels.
Awesome.
It was lowered with super low-profile tires. And it had a stinger pipe in the back. And I believe it was a 2-liter. And it was... that thing was so much fun to drive. Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Well, yeah, because have you driven yours yet? Is it a driver when you got it?
No.
Okay.
No, I've driven my buddies, but I haven't driven this. It's not drivable yet. So.
Gotcha.
But well, I've driven one before.
That driving position of this giant steering wheel, and you're looking down right through the front glass, and there's nothing in front of you. You know.
Yeah, and the front wheels are behind you, just about.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, those are
so cool.
It's
a different perspective on driving. Absolutely. Yeah.
What are the plans for yours?
You know, that's where the problem lies. Do I do something, go back to original? Because that's what everybody tells me I should do, because I'm starting with such a great base. But I love the resto mod. You know, I love the, I don't know if I shag carpet and go all in Scooby-Doo style, or do I do something that's like, you know, Hot Wheels, kind of iconic. You know, I'm all over the place with what I like, so it's hard for me to make a decision. But right now I'm in, like, who do I find to paint it? And, you know, I'm a cruising limber guy. You'd think I'd have a bunch of contacts. But, you know, I don't want to shop. I'm not in the car business. I'm a real estate guy. But I love cars. And, I'm debating on who to go to for all these finishing touches. So we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah, my buddies, the debate was to keep the air-cooled VW engine or go with a liquid-cooled Subaru motor. Or do an electric conversion on it, you know. And at the time, the EV swap was behind door number three, and it was the most expensive by a long shot.
Right.
But then the Subaru would have been, you know, triple the power of the original air-cooled motor and still pretty involved. So we ended up just kind of giving a big tune-up to the air-cooled. And it ran great. It's more power than you'd want in that thing. So, you know.
Really?
I can't imagine having a very powerful Volkswagen bus. It would just be...
It would be pretty unnerving.
Driving that thing. I mean, you'd have to do the brakes to match for sure, so it's safe and, you know, you're confident. But it's cool. What was... I still think the highest grossing Hot Wheels car, the most valuable Hot Wheels car, is a VW bus, right?
I think you're right.
And it's
that,
the...
Really? That's
that may have been a V8 radio trivia question.
Was it?
It might have been.
We've done so many of these that we end up recycling questions, and him and I don't remember, so that's good. And we don't remember the answer either. I think it's called the Surf Bomb? It's something bomb. And it was one of the original series Hot Wheels from 67, and it had two plastic surfboards sticking out the back. And
oh, really? That sounds cool.
Yeah. And 10 or 12 years ago, I remember hearing one that sold for like 10 grand. And now I think one's crossed 100,000 for a Hot Wheels car.
Is that not insane? $100,000 for these. Right. Man.
Totally insane. I mean, for things that we used to destroy as kids are now pulling six figures.
Well, the other fun thing is there was a model kit in the late 70s, early 80s, and it was a VW bus, and it was, what was it called? It was a surf-themed, so it was totally raked. It was chopped, but it was chopped in a pie wedge, so the windshield was shorter than the rear windows, and it was bright green. And it was called the California Roller. That was the name of the model kit. And like you said, it was kind of that crazy, cartoony Hot Wheels look. And it was just awesome. You couldn't stop looking at it. So I hope, you know, I'm sure whatever you end up doing with it, because even if you do take it back to stock, those still, they stop traffic too. So, I mean, you got a cool piece there.
Yeah, thanks, man. I do love it. And I love that it is unique, you know. And again, when you're out and about, there's so many beautiful cars, like to stand out in the crowd. Not that that's my goal, but it is fun, you know, just have something different. So that's why I can't decide if I go kind of wild and crazy and do something different or stick with that traditional look. Either way, it's going to look fly.
Yeah, because nobody does this to be anonymous.
Right.
Nobody builds a cool car because they don't like attention.
They want to blend in. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? One other thing I wanted to say about the cruising that I really like is I find a lot of car guys to be now I'm losing my train of thought. They are not outgoing. Damn, what's the word?
Introverted.
A lot of them are very introverted. And so that's where car shows comes in, to where they feel more confident to talk and to interact. And this is just, again, broad stroke, but a lot of them are introverts. So this cruising thing, it gets them into a social environment that can sometimes be scary, but it's very fulfilling and it gives them an experience. And I love that about it. Like, if I give somebody an experience, that's better than money in my world.
You know, I think you're right. And my take on that is also a lot of car guys are so into it that they can't really communicate with other people who are not into it because, you know how it is, Mike. You just, you go out in the garage, you work on the GTO, you come in and you go, Jenny, I just fixed the electric choke on the GTO. And her eyes glaze over like, I don't know or care. But this event brings all those people together and you can geek out and hang out if you want to and share all that stuff too. So yeah, definitely. Do you know how many, we'll just say cars, might be out there on Saturday night?
You know, they say that there's usually 3,000-ish at one of our events, but I mean,
wow.
I think every time we've done an event, there's been more. So, it's one of the biggest events in the whole state of Missouri. And I say event because, again, I can't make an event that's cruising. I'm going to get in trouble. So I'm doing a cruise night to have a nostalgia of cruising and to go support your local community. So, again, kind of the workaround, but again, I think it brings value to everybody involved and everybody's playing nice. It goes from 6 to 10 p.m. And so we try to be like, hey, no racing, no burnouts, no crazy, 10:15, you know, 3:30 in the afternoon, whatever, before and after, just not during those hours so we don't get in trouble.
For sure. And this is not something that you have to buy a ticket to do or an entry fee or anything. This is just show up, right?
Absolutely. It's it's come out with your fun car and have a good time and support the community and meet some friends. It's what it's all about.
Now, a couple weeks ago, I bought one of the t-shirts. Super cool.
Nice.
I just got in the mail yesterday. Oh, no, it's awesome. So the t-shirt, for those who are listening in Slovenia, which actually I got to throw a little shout out right now to people in Sweden and Norway. We spiked big time for whatever
huge
reasons. Thanks for that. And of course our friends in Australia and in that part of the world. But if you're not familiar, St. Louis had a very signature license plate for a long time. And it's like a brick red plate with white letters on it. How long did they do that plate? Do you know?
You know, I didn't know, and I had to Google it. 1949 to 1997, so almost 50 years.
Wow.
We had this ugly brick red license plate, right? You got this kick-ass car, and the reason why we went with that logo this year was because when I saw those old vintage photos, every one of them had that brick red plate on it, you know?
That's it.
And so that was like how we all were connected. We were all connected by that thing for 50 years, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. It was a great idea. And then I do know, again, through the Facebook group, that every once in a while you'll put a post up about a sponsor. So tell me, what does it mean to be a sponsor of this event? And are there some you want to throw a shout out to? Because I like that they're helping.
Yeah, no, I'm grateful for it. You know, the past 2 years we've done all free events and I, you know, it's my nonprofit. I'm losing money every day on it, but I'm passionate about it. And I want to keep it alive, you know? So I got a 12-year-old and when he turns 16, I want him to cruise Lemberg. Like that's my mission. So money is, you know, I'm a real estate guy. I make money. This is not for the money. But when I went to the sponsors, I'm like, guys, we can do better events, bigger events, have more fun together. You know, lower the price of these t-shirts. I want more people showing that brand and being proud of what Cruising Lemberg is. So basically, you know, one of the car guys grew up cruising on Lemberg. He loves it. He's a big attorney here in St. Louis, and he wanted to come in and be the main sponsor. So I'm like, cool. I went to a couple car shops. They're like, yeah. So I just kind of threw out a few numbers. Like, hey, how about this level? I'll give you this. This level, I'll give you that.
$2 million.
$2 million.
Write that out to Jason.
No, you know, like so basically the money that came in paid for the merch, and then now I sell those t-shirts, but I'm also going to be doing a lot of giveaways. We're doing a big car show in October, so now I'm already kind of funding some of the things for the car show. So at the end of the year, my goal is whatever money came in goes back out somehow. So I'm not I'm not in this to make money, but I want to perpetuate Cruising Lemberg. So,
well, it takes money to do these kind of things, and you're right. It's not going to get funneled through into your bank. It's the grease that keeps the wheels going. So that's important. So thank you to all the sponsors that are helping you out. I think that's cool.
Yeah,
it's also showing you people that appreciate it.
No, absolutely. And all I did was ask a few friends. Like, I didn't really even put it out there that I was doing sponsorships. I asked a few friends. You know, a buddy of mine owns a tattoo shop, but he grew up cruising Lindbergh. And he's a real well-known, famous local artist. And so he's giving away a $1,000 tattoo by him to somebody in the group. Because, he's passionate about, like, what I'm doing to bring back this history. And, I mean, when I say 70 years of cruising, like, every weekend. So it's not like a thing you did every once in a while. It was like your whole world. And so to bring that back for some of these guys, I mean, it's magical for me. I'm a fan of it, and I'm become a promoter of it. It's these sponsors. Like, we got Jack's Wax and, you know, Rich Line. There's a few, they're kind of around the country and stuff. So there's some bigger players, but I try to go for the small guy, you know. We got a insurance agent. You know, she's running for mayor in my local area. And so it's like, I support her, she supports me. And together we're all growing and we're all benefiting. And so on the Facebook page, what's great is I have a lot of attention. And so I can bring value through the attention. And so I say, hey guys, these are vetted business people in your area. Most of the members kind of know them, but we get to go a little deeper and talk about who they are as the business owner, not just what the business does. It's the person behind the business.
Very nice.
And again, like for me, I'm a relationship guy. So I own 14 Airbnbs, and I arbitrage those Airbnbs. And so I rent a unit and a sublease as Airbnb, and I kill it. It's the best business I've ever been involved in. So I make my money there. I don't have to make money through the car stuff, but I still got to use my business mind so that I can continue to grow and be bigger and better and have more fun together. So It was weird when I went from not worrying about making any money to saying, hey, let's raise some money so we could do more things. Everybody came in, and it's been a blessing.
Well, I know for a fact that if I'm aware of a business that appreciates cars or the cruising and the lifestyle, that's somebody I want to go support. It is, you know, so that's good. I think
Amen.
There's definitely value.
Amen.
There. Yeah.
And that was my goal, is like, we support them by them supporting us. And when you get that reciprocity, it really makes for magical times. So, yeah.
All right. How about for people that are listening that don't know how to get a hold of you, the Facebook group, and then also the merch is sold through the website, right? What's that all about? What's the address?
Yeah, so cruisinlimburg.com, and it's cruising with no G. That's a big controversy, but yeah, cruisinlimburg with no G, .com. You know, our Facebook page is private. We do have our Facebook group is private, but we do have a Facebook page. I'm kind of an old man, so I don't do a lot of TikTok and Instagram and stuff. And we got those pages, but feel free, kids, go on there and do your thing. But Facebook is really where it started, and that's kind of where we focus our efforts. So if you join the private group, you get to see all the fun stuff that we do and way more content shared than on the page. But cruisinglimber.com, you can buy your shirts. You know, we sell the hoodies and hats and all the other stuff, but we try to have one shirt that's like the shirt for the year. And it's been a lot of fun, man. The whole merch side of things is totally foreign to me. So I want to try to bring a brand to a thing that's been around a long time. It's a lot of pressure, you know? So I think I did good with the red license plate. We, you know, talked to an artist about some ideas, and together we came up with this, and I'm excited about this one. So
that's cool. That's cool. Mikey, when you were younger, was there a cruise spot? Did you do a lot of cruising?
There was. I grew up in Ohio, but when I was 15, I moved to the Dallas, Texas area. And right around, there's a road in DeSoto, Texas called Beltline Road, where everybody would gather and just cruise up and down miles of streets and hang out and be social. And it was one of the greatest times of my life growing up. It was a perfect age. I was 15. I turned 16. I got my driver's license, cruised my 76 Le Mans Safari wagon up Beltline Road in Dallas, awesome. Texas, and had a great time.
That's great. Well, see,
love that.
Now, you know, coming up this coming Saturday, the 30th of April, is the chance for younger 15-year-olds to have the greatest time of their life, or fogies like us to go do it again.
Nice.
Well, you know, the old people, when you're old and you get to feel 15 again, man, money can't buy that. And so that's the other thing, is the spirit that you were, that same road, those same lights, the same curve around that street are all the same things when you were 15. So I don't know. There's just that nostalgia is just really special also when it comes to like cruising where you cruise when you grew up.
For sure. Well, you know, what's also really special. The answers to our silly trivia questions. So right. We've had our listeners hang through and enjoy the great stories long enough. And again, Jason, thank you for sharing that stuff. Very cool.
Oh, love to, for love to me see on, your
passion level is infectious. It's cool. So oh,
thanks, brother.
You go first, Mike. What was your question?
Okay, so I asked you guys what was the world's first car club.
All right.
The bonus was the year it was formed and from what country it came from. And Kevin, you said venerable Road Rangers.
World famous.
World famous. Worldwide, worldwide. Road Rangers from Slovenia.
Right.
Formed in 1916.
Yes, of course.
And our good friend Jason said the Paisanos from Naples, Italy in the year 1925. Well, unfortunately, fellas, those aren't quite on the mark.
Oh, man.
If one of you guys was closest by location, Jason, you were the closest. But the correct answer is the Automobile Club de France, formed in 1895 in Paris.
Wow.
There you go.
1895.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So
great
guesses,
though.
We were close.
Yeah, of course we were.
Road
right.
Rangers, so, that's going to live on. I'll tell you what.
Well, it was French. They were just here in Slovenia.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so my question to you guys was, in 1957 and 1958, Lake Placid Blue Metallic came on the Cadillac Eldorado Brougham, and what other American icon? And if you recall, the 57 Eldo had a brushed stainless steel roof skin. So when you saw that Lake Placid blue with that brushed stainless, and it had a funky blue paisley interior, it's an amazingly beautiful car. Mm. So Jason said it came on other makes and models, not just the 57 and 8 Cadillac. And interesting answer. Mikey said it is the same color as the water tower in Lake Placid, New York.
Booyah. Yeah. I said what I said.
Well, I'm going to give this one to Jason.
What?
Yes,
nice.
Because the other make and model that it came on was known as the Fender Stratocaster.
Ooh.
Heck yeah. Okay. So, Cue Ball, you were on the right track by assuming it wasn't necessarily a car.
Right.
But it certainly wasn't a water tower.
No, it was not. I can't even stretch that to make that a water tower. Oh,
all
man.
Right.
Great so question, then, though. Love it.
Jason, what was your question again? The largest cruise?
Yeah, the largest cruise, and to be honest with you, I don't know the actual answer. I was just thinking of Van Nuys because that was the place that I was iconic to me. And so I just thought that you guys would say that and you didn't, and that's how it goes. So I don't really know the answer to my own question, to be honest with you. I didn't know I had to give
a
question.
Oh yeah, totally.
but we could Google it. So that's what I tell my kids. Like, you just Google it. Google knows everything. So I don't know,
Mike,
that I quantified the question, but you know,
that's all good. Mike, you said the Hot Rod Power Tour, which I'm gonna say you're right in that respect. It's also, it could be qualified as the longest cruise, right? Because it goes over many states,
possibly,
and not just a 3 mile strip. And then I said the Woodward Dream Cruise, which I think, I'm pretty sure, is the highest car count.
Is that right?
A technical for a cruise. Yeah, they've got like 30,000. I mean,
it's
big.
Holy cats.
Yeah, it's a big
deal.
Wow. So, hey, everybody wins.
We're all winners.
Yay. We all get a prize.
Yeah, we all get nothing. Well, listen, hopefully we get to see people in the area, or even if you're going to, you know, it's a good opportunity to come to St. Louis to be part of that Cruisin' Lindbergh event and see what's going on. Mike, maybe in the fall, if you come down for the our drive-in cruise event at the Belleville Skyview Drive-In, maybe that coordinates a little bit. You guys are doing a show in October, you said?
Yeah, October 16th is the car show over at Lindbergh High School, and yeah, it's going to be big. We're going to do at least 300 or 400 cars this year. That's my goal. So,
all right. That's so, Mike, cool. Come down for the driving cruise on August 20th and stay a month. And then
okay.
You can go to...
Done.
There you go.
Done deal.
Right on. All right. Well, listen, Jason, it was a pleasure. I really appreciate it, man. Great to learn more about it and hear some stories. And
well, Kevin and Mike, thank you so much for having me on, man. I appreciate it. This is a lot of fun.
For sure. Good. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, because normally it's, you know, just him and I, and that gets stale.
What are you talking about? We're a dynamic duo, man.
That's for sure. What was the word of the show? Where it's
Corey Bantick.
Of course, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. All right. So thank you for tuning in to the V8 Radio Podcast. If you like this kind of stuff, go ahead and click the subscribe button, right? And then a brand new episode will get jammed right into your email box. You won't even know what happened. You'll just wake up and it'll be there.
Like some right kind in your of, ear hole.
Like some kind of gifting holiday.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm Kevin Oostie for Mr. Mike Hubaugh Clark and Jason LaCavalli saying thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. And keep it slow, steady, and sane when we see you on the Cruisin' Lindbergh event. And we'll see you next time on V8 Radio.